You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Live from Hollywood Park, it's the 16th annual Mock Sessler Mock Draft. Your must-have final compendium to the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm Jason Zumwalt. You may know me as the voice of Reynolds Rap 2007 to 2009. And now here's your host, the old Zeuser himself, Dan Hansis!
Hey-o! Hello and welcome. So yes, the 16th annual Mock Sessler Mock Draft, and what an exciting time it is, because 24 hours from now, all the attention, it all heads out to Detroit, all heads out to Marshall Mathers University, 8 Mile,
no, didn't touch,
but for all intents and purposes, the center of the draft world right now is the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. For Mr. Sessler's mock draft. I cannot do this alone. I will not do this alone. So I have a co-host. I'm going to be frank with you. It's mostly for eye candy purposes. It's Greg Rosenthal.
That is right. I have been working out like crazy. Personal trainer, lack of knowledge, but huge guns.
Massive pipes. But that's not all. That's not all. Also joining us, and this is important, a man who is quality control of this mock draft. He's a man. He's a professional. He is Lance Zierlein. Lance.
I noticed I didn't get any applause, so that's cool.
There you are. There we are.
A smattering. I brought along some melatonin.
Okay.
Melatonin just in case I get too excited about Mark's draft.
And yikes.
I need to take the edge off a little bit.
Sounds like a man who doesn't like someone else coming on his corner, the draft expert corner.
Look, let me just put it this way. I'm no Marlo Stanfield, but I will say this. I remember, you know, when former athletes who are in the space, or even guys who play now, and they get all upset. Who are these guys mock drafting? Where did they ever play? What do they know? Who the hell's Mel Kiper anyway? You know, that whole thing. And I always thought, well, that's dumb. But now that Mark's trying to crank out a mock draft, I'm like, who the hell is Mark Sessler to do these mock drafts? It's just kind of the same kind of thing. You know, when people encroach on your space, you don't love it.
It's like when someone makes a copy of a VHS and then a copy of a VHS and then a copy of a VHS.
Whoa.
The degradation at a certain level is, it's almost like, can we watch it anymore? Can we listen? And without further ado, and what a way to set the table. It is the man of the hour. Hopefully he comes in under an hour. Mark Sessler.
Well, thank you. This is starting exactly as I thought it would, in terms of tone and complete disregard for the immense amount of work that I put into this.
We've also put in work behind the scenes. Everyone should check us out on YouTube, and you can see the visual of five different Mark Sesslers drafting at the same time. It's beautiful.
Mark, I like that that's how you come into this, because in past years, you have famously stated, I believe last year, if you listened to last year's program, you said you put in 1 hour and, I believe, 12 minutes of research. And yet, all we've heard for the past few weeks is you are turned into a machine. You're basically coming for Lance in a way, because you have been watching tape. You've been grinding. So in a lot of ways, you want to be legitimized within the industry. And I could tell. So this means a lot. This is such an important mock draft for you.
Yeah, I think an hour and 12 minutes is rich for what I did last year, because I think I got up and made coffee and at one point took a brief nap. But like this time around, I have tried to, you know, go through these picks pick by pick and look for things that would excite me as well as what seems logical.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is very important. You need to hit. Let's check out last year's results.
Oh, really?
Mark Sessler, 2023. You got Bryce Young at one. You got Bijan to the Falcons. You got C.J. Stroud right, but he had him at 12. So Will Anderson, and you got Anderson and Stroud, but you had him in the wrong spots.
Got Richardson right.
Team was a correct pick, although because obviously Will Levis was second round. But name and team was a correct.
We're gonna give him full credit for saying a guy's going third overall that didn't even get taken on.
Take it up with pass, right, Greg. You agreed last year.
Yeah, Greg, this was something you already signed
off
to.
In the first?
Yeah.
Penn and Hooker had one leg last year.
Right. That pass, Greg, is one of my least favorite people. Okay, but yeah, you got to beat five.
You have to. We're going to rewrite that. You have to have it within the first round. You know, Will Levis going in the sixth round to the Titans isn't the same as Will Levis going fourth overall.
No, I would agree with that. I think it got so bleak that we amended the rules during our live show.
Okay.
All right. So that's last year, but this is this year, and this is a different mark. And Lance, you're going to see that. And what starts this episode as we get to the first pick right now, what started as an exercise almost mocking the industry, now he's marking the industry as a Sessler joint. Get to it. The first overall pick.
Okay, very little drama, obviously. We're at the first overall pick. The Chicago Bears do what we've expected them to do for eons at this point. Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC.
Okay. Now, is there anyone out there, Lance, by the way, that is saying that that's not going to happen? No.
Nobody's out there. It's done.
It's done.
We're in the books. Mark is one for one.
There's an NFL scout or two out there that it's like, well, we would take Jaden Williams supposedly, but yeah, I don't know if I believe it.
One or two.
I don't think we need to hold there any longer. No, let's move to the second overall pick, the Washington Commanders.
I think the events of the last couple weeks make this slightly mysterious if you're into like chatter and talking points and offenses and who's an alpha and who's not an alpha. But the Washington Commanders at number two, stick with what we've heard. They go with Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
All right, we got the thumbs up from Lance. So you're not reading into any Lance. Jaden didn't like the idea that he's at Topgolf with like 12 other guys.
No, I think that Jaden Daniels, while he may not like to hang out with a bunch of other quarterbacks, I don't care. As long as he's the only quarterback that's going to start for Washington, they're going to take.
All right, moving on to number three.
All right, number three, and, you know, I try to please the people that matter to me inside this industry on the show. And
that seems like a mistake, right, Lance? Pleasing the people who matter to you in
I mean, that's what the insiders
industry?
Do. They're
well, namely,
all just...
namely Greg, for the sake of the, just namely Greg. But Greg has been hot on the tail of New England Patriots, their third overall pick. Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. It's also just logical. I think this is where they're going. You're hearing a lot of chatter that the Patriots really dig Drake May, too.
Mark Sessler, proverbial people pleaser.
Well, this feels like the first, you know, where the draft really starts, unless the Washington shocks us, doesn't take Daniels, Lance. As we get close, like, where are you feeling is going to happen?
I'm going to go right player, wrong team. I think May goes three, but I'm going to put him either with the Giants or the Vikings in this spot. I'm not going to give you the entire thing. You're going to have to read my mock to find out what I'm actually doing.
You must do that.
What a tease.
Couple teas. Couple teas in the business.
This would drive me crazy if they just assume they can get some other quarterback some other time. That's it. I'm out forever.
Okay. The fourth pick. Now, this is a hotly debated pick about who's going to make it. Right now, it's the Cardinals. Does it stay that way, Mark?
It does not. And you're going to have your fans that say, wait a minute, you don't take Marvin Harrison? What are you doing here? But the Cardinals make the trade that a lot of people have presupposed could happen with the Vikings. They get 11 and 23, and the Vikings move up, and Kevin O'Connell gets his guy, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan.
Lance.
I'm okay with it.
Does that work
for you?
I'm
okay with it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I think Arizona now has three first-round picks.
They do.
So, you know, obviously they have to they got to figure out what they're going to do with three first-round picks. I think they'd have to trade up. But for now, I'm okay with it.
He's going to like some of what happens later on.
And this would break my heart. This would mean that Sam Darnold's chances of actually starting for the Vikings go way down. So I'm really hoping this does not occur, but I'm fully prepared for it.
As we get closer to draft, I do think it's worth wondering, are we sure that there are multiple teams that want J.J. McCarthy this much? Now, if the Patriots don't take May, or maybe they make the trade with the Vikings and the Vikings go up and they take May at three, like, either way, do the Vikings even feel like they need to go up that high to get J.J. McCarthy, I think, is a fair question. Is there a chance he would even fall all the way down to 11? I feel like that's higher than people are trying to.
Well, you got the Giants hanging out there, so you can't get too cute.
All right, number five, you have the Los Angeles Superchargers on the clock. Do they stay there?
We have a trade.
Another one?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is not me wish casting. I can't think of a more all-in team in the NFL that basically has like a one-year contract with the football gods just to make it happen right now. That is the New York Jets.
Oh, my goodness.
And we know they like to wheel and deal and make moves, and they move up to number five, and they take Marvin Harrison Jr. They don't care. They're going to go for it.
Ooh. Now, that would be, as a Jet fan, I would be over the moon. What are we giving up? I would like to know. But you know what? I think, to Joe Douglas's credit, as much as we are talking about, and I agree, that they are all in on this year because everything is on the line for the organization, and how could it go wrong? But to Joe Douglas's credit, we have not seen him make a move where it's like he's selling the farm because he doesn't care because he's not there yet. This would start to edge into that territory. Unless, Lance, it doesn't matter what they're giving up because Harrison is that good. Is he that good? Is this a superstar waiting to just enter the league?
I think he's a really good player, the chance to be a Pro Bowl player. And you know what I like about Mark here is that he talks about the all-in nature of this pick. They don't even have a second rounder this year. So basically, you're trading up and you're going to give up a big pick next year as well. So
absolutely.
You are basically, if you're Joe Douglas, said, if you're going to fire me, I'm taking all my picks with me.
There you go.
Or you're not really specifying at all what you're doing. And as a fellow mock drafter, Lance, what do you think of that? Just in terms of the concise analysis, too, that Mark is bringing to the
exercise. What is wrong with you?
I mean, I love going for it with Harrison.
Okay.
I'm not sure how you're going to make that work. I just, for me, this just smacks of I like the phrase he used, wish casting, because I think that is what this is, despite his protestations.
That's what I was looking for, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say no. I'm sorry, dog. That's a no for me.
Yeah, and in general, Lance, to be taken seriously in this world, wish casting is probably not something you want to do in general, right?
Right. You can't just go through life just hoping and wishing.
Right.
You know, there's an old saying in the movie. Have you ever seen the movie? Oh, I think it's This Boy's Life. Have you ever seen This Boy's Life with Robert De Niro?
Yes. And DiCaprio.
Leo DiCaprio. It's one of the most underrated movies ever. And there's a phrase in there, crap in one hand and hope in the other and see which one gets full first. Or maybe it was a different movie, but it's my favorite quote ever to use because it's true.
I'm going to ask
because
you a question.
It's true.
Who's got an entire episode based around their mock draft that's about to blow up on, you know, iTunes and wherever you got your podcast and YouTube as well?
Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, who else? But okay.
And by the way, I caught that little subtle lowering of expectations there by Lance for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
That
he was, I noticed, like, too. A Pro Bowl player.
He was like solid. He's got a chance to be a Pro Bowl player. It's like, okay. Yeah. We see you.
Hell.
Not an all-time. I'm not saying all-time great.
Yeah, you're not into it.
Playing with Aaron Rodgers for 1 year.
Like, Tyrod Taylor is a Pro Bowl player, right?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, let's move on. We keep rolling. So we got two trades in the top five. Are any of the big QBs left?
No.
So now the New York Giants, who I think were hoping one of those guys might be there.
I think they were hoping someone would be there. I think they probably picked up the phone and were, you know, outpriced, out-leveraged by the Vikings. You know, the Giants have a lot to choose here, though, and I think we need to go to one of the greatest Giant podcasts out there. You know, we don't like to promote other shows, but this is different. It's Christopher Walken's Walking with Giants.
Great show. Let's take a look. Great show.
So many people want to know who the Giants are going to choose. I'll tell you now, Malik Nabers, LSU wide receiver, 6'0", 200 pounds. It's going to be good, I think.
Wow. Mr. Walken, thank you. And check out Walken with Giants anywhere you get your podcasts. Lance, were you aware of that podcast? That actor, iconic actor, Christopher Walken, getting up there in years, but still covering the Giants and watching the Giants very closely. He likes the idea of Malik Nabers from LSU going number 6.
I had no idea Christopher was a Giants fan, but I know now.
Wow, not only is Lance going toe-to-toe with Mark Sessler, also with the voice of ATN, Jason Zumwalt.
It's an incredible showing by Lance so far.
I think this could be a savvy move. As we're getting closer, for what it's worth, a lot of buzz out there from Giants reporters, Giants everything, that like actually if May is gone, they might not be as into taking a quarterback as people think. And that would make them more likely. You think that's accurate? Okay.
I think that's actually accurate. And here's the other thing. I think that if you draft Malik Nabers, this is what I like to call this the third act for Daniel Jones. We had the first act, the second act, or actually this would probably be the fourth act for Daniel Jones.
He actually had a sneaky good rookie year.
The fourth act. I think we'd be on the fourth act in what would be known as the comeback. Comeback inside of the second contract.
Every classic play is built off a three-act structure, so four-acts feels excessive for Daniel Jones.
His entire career resets every year with a whole different set of expectations, it seems. Weird. All right, number 7. Now, this one is on my radar, Mark, just because everyone seems certain of the pick. And when that happens, sometimes the mock industry and the rest of us end up looking foolish, but what do you think happened?
I'm with you. It bothered me to even type this. I think this is Bill Callahan saying, "I'm daddy. I choose who goes here. I'm running your offensive line." The Titans at number 7.
You think the offensive line coach is running the draft room?
It's the father of the head coach. So,
wow.
Yeah, I do. I think he's probably got some say here, but it's a need.
Some daddy issues there.
Sure. Joe Alto is 6'7", 322 pounds. He's the pick at number 7 for the Titans. I mean, it just makes sense. If they do something else, I think it'd be a relatively massive surprise to anyone out there.
Yeah, Lance, is this being overly simplified that this is definitely going to happen?
No, if Joe Alt is still there, he will be the pick.
Daniel Jeremiah, your frenemy on the Move the Sticks podcast, Lance, said on Wednesday that he just keeps hearing teams are trading up for tackles, that he thinks there's going to be a lot of trade up for. Now, maybe it's all is certainly tackle one or is expected to be. And there's 3 or 4 that could go in the top 15.
All right. The next pick. Go ahead.
No, I just think that's it. I think teams have we've all put Joe Alt to 7. It's the one that makes the most sense. That's one of the biggest dangers you can have in the draft is have everyone know who you potentially are going to take, because then you become an easy trade ahead of target.
All right. Maybe they could trade with the Chargers 7-5, take Alt there.
Perhaps. Okay, we're going to get through the top 10. We're going to take a break and say goodbye to Lance, because Lance has serious person stuff.
He does, yeah. This is a farce.
He seems to be hinting at that. Number 8. So this is where, just again, everyone just assuming, okay, here are the Falcons. No defensive players off the board, so this is where the first guy goes. Do you think that, Mark?
Right, like Dallas Turner just staring at his phone thinking it's going to ring. Well, it's not going to ring because we have a trade.
Oh.
And this is where I start to do things that I want to do. And the Kansas City Chiefs, who sit in turmoil at the wide receiver position, talk about another team behind the Jets that are equal with the Jets or more, and more in terms of proving it, are all in right now. It might be your last year with Travis Kelce. You want to go get that offense. You want to deal with what you've been doing before. They trade up to number 8 with the Atlanta Falcons, and they get Roma Dunze, wide receiver, Washington. Mm. And you talk about an offense that looks transformed with this pick. Ready to go right away, rookie.
Lance is covering his face. He's pressing disgusted. His temples. Speak to us about what you're feeling, Lance, right now.
I mean, part of me wants to just hang up on this thing right now. So I like that Mark says, you know, what I like to do when I do mock drafts is I try to think like the teams. And I say, well, now what would this GM do? Now, what is their history? What are they? And that's why my mocks take 5 to 7 hours. Mark says, this is what I want to do. I'm going to take over. So Mark thinks, what would Mark do if he were with the Chiefs? Trade up. Like my job's not on the line. I'm going to give away 3 first rounders, apparently, because I'm going to go from 32 to 8. I don't even know if they make the draft chart. I don't even know if the draft chart even, if they even have that as a possibility.
Class is in session, Mark.
590 and 8 is 1,400. We've got to match up 900 more points. That's going to be more than a first rounder next year. You're basically giving up a second this year, a first next year.
We've seen it, though. We've seen it. We've seen it a couple times. Sammy Watkins, Julio Jones.
In fairness, I think what Lance is also getting at, what the way he's – the draft trade, the point system.
Right. It's unlikely.
I think he's indirectly saying, Mark, did you even do any of this in your head before throwing out something that it seems irresponsible almost in a way?
I view trades and future assets and anything attached to the salary cap at this point as just sort of a mythical blockade. And I think this is possible. So again, this is my world.
It is spicy, though, that the Chiefs and the Bills, the two defining teams of the last, you know, 5 years, both have this vibe that, you know, maybe one of them trades up for a wide receiver, makes this draft more fun.
And I would say being unconventional doesn't mean you're wrong, Mark. So the quote there.
I support this one, Mark.
I'm also not wrong yet. It hasn't happened.
So this is where we start to do what I want to do. I like that. That's like you're an iconoclast when it comes to this industry. All right.
It's like the part in the movie where you break bad, essentially. Michael Douglas just starts losing his mind on the poor citizens of Los Angeles.
I think it's fair to say you're the bad boy of the mock industrial
I'll
complex.
Take that.
Number 9, the Chicago Bears with their second pick of the top 10.
I think people have thought the Bears would go get their wide receiver here, but I think what they do to, you know, settle down Eberflus, who's like, will anyone ever give me assets and stop trading Roquan Smith and everyone else with any talent off my defense? They take the player that people thought the Falcons would, Dallas Turner, edge out of Alabama. You give him a piece on defense to improve that pass rush.
To your top edge, well, Lance, I'm just curious.
No, I've got Jared Verse, but it's very close. I think Dallas Turner goes before Verse, so I'm fine with this. Finally, a respite from insanity.
All right, let's then move to number 10, because I'm curious if you're going to be okay with this one. So, of course, in Mark's world, the Jets and Chargers traded. So now it's the Chargers sitting at number 10. And what do they do with the pick?
Well, they need a wide receiver. We know that. But it's Jim Harbaugh. So it's like, who does Jim Harbaugh want to take that really fills out another aspect of this offense? This person can catch the ball too. It's Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
What do you think? Now, Bowers has been widely mocked to the Jets, staying home at 10. But in this case, he goes 10, but to a different team. Lance, is that logical to you?
Well, this is the genius of a Mark Sessler, is that he takes a look and he even said, we need a pass catcher. You don't say you need a wide receiver anymore. You need a pass catcher. You need a weapon. And so Mark has correctly identified that Bowers is a weapon. Don't put the label on wide receiver or tight end. We know the Chargers need a weapon. We know they need an offensive lineman. In this case, they got a weapon, but he's one of one. He's the only tight end that'll go in the first and maybe the second round too. So in this particular case, I think the value is pretty good for a guy who I consider to be a weapon at tight end.
I love that. And
you needed that. It was a good one, Mark.
That's a good way to end our
hardcore
segment
praise.
With like that felt good.
It's why I haven't totally mentally ruled out Brock Bowers at 9. I'm actually looking down at another competing mock draft. This is a new entrant into the mix.
Uh-oh.
The Walker Rosenthal 2024 mock draft. That is my 9-year-old son with zero help. He put this together weeks ago and hours, and we will compare who gets more right. I'll send it out on it. But he had Bowers going to the Bears, which I thought was a creative little wrinkle. I know Cole Kmet is there, but they need weapons. They could add a second time.
Real quick. Before I leave, real quick, can you just give me, because I may want to, this is pretty fun. Can you give me 11 real quick? Can I get just a little teaser on 11?
Oh, wow.
Because
It's
funny why Lance is saying that, because I was going to suggest, can we just hang for one more pick? Because I want Lance's thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders being on the clock.
They
maybe we'll go later. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so there's a trade. That's how they get on the clock. The Cardinals had this pick from the Vikings. The Cardinals are willing to move down to 13 and allow the Raiders to come up to 11, where they take Michael Penix Jr. Whoa. They need a quarterback out of Washington. They have been linked together. There's supposed interest. Who knows if that's all lies or not?
You have, it appears to me, you have injured Lance Zierlein with that choice. In fact, he's gone. Oh my God, Lance is gone. He just disconnected the chat.
I didn't ship Ryan Leaf Jr. to any of these teams. These are good players for the most part. But
and just to clarify, Lance indeed cut off his communication after that.
He had a look of disgust.
That was the box was gone. I don't know if Mark's
wiped
him out and he fell.
Can I explain why I, like, before we just like float down this avenue of how could this happen? Like the Broncos
he
have
just
the,
hung up.
The Broncos have the next pick.
They do.
So the Raiders are hopscotching their biggest one of their biggest rivals to take the next quarterback you'd logically take, and they've gotten, these are two teams with nothing at quarterback. So do you sit there and watch the Broncos go take Michael Penix, and then you are sitting there with nothing at quarterback?
He seems to be the most Raiders-y quarterback possible. Big arm, throw deep. Like, they love that. I think that the issue would be, a lot of people feel like he is being really pushed up to even being talked about as a first-round talent because of the injuries, because of the time, but also just because he's not incredibly accurate, where to me it feels like if they are trading up from 13, that feels a little...
I mean,
a
that's
little
two,
rich.
It's two spots. Yeah, there's a logical reason you're hopscotching the team that seems desperate to take whoever's sitting there at quarterback.
I feel like he is more likely to get taken in round two than he is in the top 15, but that's just my
Well, Chad Ryder thought the same thing, but I mean, how often are quarterbacks overvalued in this process? So I don't know. Again, is it interesting? Are Raiders fans sitting like, that captured my interest?
Walker's got him going to the Vikings at 22. They actually stick and pick, and they have Penix there.
Are we going to do this for every pick?
No,
every
I just
pick?
That Penix especially. I just
this
that,
is...
The minute Lance goes, I got a nine-year-old on my back.
Yeah, well, like, you to Walker is like Lance to you. You suddenly don't like this
I don't know
newcomer,
if it is.
But
I'm
that's
not,
the...
I'm not sure I'll...
It's the cycle of life.
I probably won't beat Walker, so...
I think in fairness, Greg, as the co-host here... First of all, we should talk beforehand. This is a big stage for Mark. And we talked about it on our most recent show. The goal here is to legitimize Mark.
Oh, yeah.
And having a nine-year-old serve as his foil on top of Lance, which I thought was more constructive in this idea of like, how do we... It didn't go exactly how I wanted because I wanted Lance to be more of a helping hand to you, but he seemed... I mean, he hung up on us, for Christ's sake.
He was put off.
So now to throw in a nine-year-old potentially feasting on you is not what we're looking for. We're trying to make... because, like Mark said, a big hit mock draft for... Mark draft for Mock Sessler is a big hit for around the NFL. So...
I will say one thing, though.
But it's kind of like picking up extra picks. A big Walker Rosenthal mock draft would be good for around the NFL either. It'd be a whole story, nine-year-old.
But here
either
is.
Way, now we're just taking more bites at the apple. One out of two is probably going to do well.
I feel like a hit for... Mark in this mock is a hit for the group. Yeah. A hit for Walker is a hit for Rosenthal.
No, it's
all
Corp.
It's for Greg.
It's like, what is...
And I don't. I respect children, and I respect their opinions and all that stuff. But like, I'd be happy to see how he does.
I mean, there's
again.
Certainly yeah. some...
It's written in pencil.
I mean, the genie's out of the bottle. So now Walker's involved, but...
Yeah. I'll send it out, but there are some issues, including he doesn't appear to have all 32 teams. There's only 31. That's a bit
well,
of a
that,
shortcoming.
Nope, you never know.
That works out to your favor.
That does.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we hit pick number 12. The Denver Broncos are on the clock. Or are they?
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we are back, and in case you missed it, we just went through the first 11 picks of the Mock Sessler Mark Draft. Thank you again to Lance Zierlein, who you can find him everywhere, NFL Network, NFL.com, yeah. And he has his final Mock Draft going up live on NFL.com today, Wednesday, so make sure you check that out. And thank you to Lance for joining us. Even if it was a little bit more hostile than...
Yeah, like we were looking for Jacoby Brissett kind of mentoring Sam Howell, and we got Joe Flacco icing out Lamar Jackson, but it was fun.
I'm still sitting here, unaffected by it all.
That's good, and you need to be.
Yeah, I feel nothing.
Because I think you need to have iron guts to succeed in this very... I mean, look at it. How many mock drafts are on NFL.com?
At least four.
Well, an absurd amount, actually. If you
I think more than that, no, right?
It's an absurd
that's
amount.
Joke.
Oh, I think it was like maybe six, seven.
I think there's 47.
It's multiples, authors.
Even just different people, yeah, there's probably over 10. But yeah. And then they have version 5 through 6 or whatever.
Well, that's different. I mean, just the number of individuals.
I think we're over 10. A wide net. Yeah. I think we're over 10.
And that's the ground that we're looking to edge into here at NFL Media. We are part of NFL Media, correct?
We're on.
According to reports.
Okay, so let's move on. Now, the next pick is, who's on the board?
Well, so the Broncos were sitting here at 12, but now it's like they can't get their quarterback, and they're like, you know what? We have a lot to rebuild from after this post-Russell Wilson apocalypse. Right. So they're open to a move. And
by the way, isn't it funny that the Broncos go from one Wilson that nobody wants to go near, radioactive, and they trade for another Wilson in Zach that nobody wants to go near and is radioactive? What is up with that name? Stay away from the Wilsons,
like that.
Denver Broncos.
I don't like that at all. But they're going to be staying away from this pick. Let's take a look.
Oh, wow. Another trade. Very active.
Oh, no. There's been a trade. The Arizona Cardinals via the Denver Broncos have traded for Olumiyiwa Fashanu, offensive tackle, Penn State, junior, 6'6", 317 pounds.
Oh, my goodness, wow. Jason. My wife listens to this podcast.
He is a Cardinals fanatic. So, yes, yeah. There was a lot of masculine energy right
seemed
there.
Seemed to be losing his mind there. So, there you go. They go and get an offensive tackle.
And, fans would be disappointed if they just take another tackle. They keep taking tackles.
That's true, but like you talked about teams moving up to do it. And
this seems a little beyond the Cardinals' pay grade in terms of football abilities behind the scenes. So they're trading out of the fourth.
Well, they did this last year.
And then they're trading up.
They have three first-round picks.
This is what I predicted they're going to do. They're going to overthink this whole thing and end up, even though Lance didn't seem so hot about Marvin Harrison, they're going to, instead of getting a superstar wide receiver,
for Kyler Murray and finally seeing once and for all if that guy is the truth forever and ever. We're going to end up with an offensive lineman, not even the projected number one lineman.
I understand your ire, but let's let the process play out.
It's a lack of trust
ire. I think also like Monty Austinfort is a very different world than what we were frowning on about the Cardinals for a long time. And I think actually last draft, he had one of the savviest drafts, and I think he shows right here that he can move up and down the board and do what he needs to do. Because they got the next pick, too.
All right. Oh. So number 13, the Cardinals on the board.
And here is what they do at number 13. Oh. They stay right home.
Another trade. The Arizona Cardinals via the Las Vegas Raiders have traded for Laiatu Latu, edge, UCLA, senior, 6'5", 265 pounds.
I think we're losing Jay. Oh, no. I think we are.
He seems to
losing
like it.
Jason.
He likes that better than the tackle.
You got an edge. Those are two of the more expensive positions to try to stock, so you got them both on rookie contracts.
Very nice. Were you aware that you win titles in the trenches?
I think that could be, there's an argument for that.
Thank you.
Good value there, too. Love Latu.
That is, I came up with that. You win in the trenches.
I'm going to let Greg announce this one because this is his pet team.
His team.
Okay.
The number 14 pick in the first round.
I think the Saints fans will be happy that they didn't have to trade up to take their tackle. Talese Fuiaga from Oregon State. Some people think might move inside to guard, but Saints need help everywhere.
Little chalky, though, because everyone thinks they're going to take a tackle. But I think they are. And they seem to do it all every year.
Now, as a football fan, I'm going to say, here's the thing about the first-round picks when you go get the tackle. It's so important, obviously, to have stability at those positions, especially left tackle. But you never come out of the first round, like, pumping your fist. It's like, not only is it not a glory position when you have a first-round pick and you take a tackle, they are, I mean, all positions are, but they're so boom and bust, these big men. And maybe he's a player. Maybe he's out of the league in 3 years. Hopefully the
Saints get
their guy.
Well, you're not
going
to like this draft then, Dan, because there could be like seven in the first round.
I probably won't.
And a lot of people think like a guy like Fuiaga, he might have been tackle one in last year's class, that there's four or five of these guys that would have.
No, you know, I invented the saying, championships are won in the trenches. So don't get it mixed up.
Yes.
I understand the importance of taking
You believe in
players,
it, right, sure.
I mean, but the excitement level when your team takes a tackle, it's usually a little muted. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. They also traded up just 2 years ago in the first round for Trevor Penning, an individual who they would refuse to play no matter how many tackles got injured last year. So they actually had given up a first-round pick that turned into a top-10 pick that was Jalen Carter and their second round pick this year. They're still paying for that trade and they need to fill the spot. So that was a disastrous trade for the Saints.
Tricky, tricky, tricky.
Well done, Mickey Loomis.
Tricky, tricky, tricky. All right. Up next. Oh my goodness. More business being done.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be wild. And that's what I'm trying to plug into here. The Colts sit at 15, but something happens. Let's go to the tape.
Sup, losers? We have a trade. The Los Angeles Rams have acquired the 15th overall pick from the Colts, who moved to 19 and get some other shit too. With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Texas linebacker Byron Murphy the second. And I can confirm that this is 1,000% accurate because Sessler is never wrong. Miss you guys.
It came so easily off the tongue calling us losers.
It's natural.
Felt so genuine.
Felt organic.
And that's why I feel bad for, you know, doing something I would do if Ricky was here right there. Just pointing out maybe 1,000% was a little high in terms of the accuracy because Byron Murphy is a defensive tackle, not a linebacker, more of an interior pass rusher.
He is.
Aaron
Donald. And
I mean, she's not here to defend herself, right. And yet, Greg, you take it.
I'm just saying for the information.
She helps the show.
I thought she did a lot of good there.
I thought I enjoyed it. I liked being called a loser by Erica Tampuzzi.
I loved it.
And yet you come off the top term, as you do with her.
You have a certain 999.
Personal tick, which is annoying multiple people. But Byron Murphy in a post-Aaron Donald world, like this is one guy I loved watching.
That'd be
he
fun.
Would fit, and I could see the Rams, now that they got this first-round pick, like We're going to do a little something.
I feel like they're going to do something. Whether it's trade back, trade up, that's what the Rams do.
I like the idea of F them picks continuing in perpetuity for the Rams and never picking the first round ever again. But this would end that streak. It has been since Jared Goff. Jared Goff. He's like 34. Yeah. Not 34, but he's like 31 or 32 years old.
It's an absurd streak.
The last time that the Rams took a number one in the draft. Okay, here we go. Now we move to number 16. Now what's going on, Mark?
Well, we have another trade.
Jesus.
This is nine trades in the last 13 picks.
Are you getting a little over your skis here now with the trades?
No, it calms down a little bit from here. But I think there's going to be a lot of movement. The Seahawks, you know, I kind of thought in my own little world that maybe there was a universe where they maybe took Michael Penix Jr. here, but even in general, they're willing to move. The Falcons, who went down with that Chiefs trade, they want to come back up and do what they were going to do before, and they take one of my favorite players in the draft, Jared Verse, edge from Florida State.
Oh, I love it.
A total headache. He's gonna take that
Mark.
Jonathan Abraham situation and throw it up.
Jonathan Abraham. The curse of John Abraham, folks. It's been a decade. If John Abraham's on your team, you will go at least 10 years immediately after his departure without having a proven edge rusher, and they're looking to stop that with Jared Verse. All right. Number 17.
All right, some of these get a little more normalized. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're happy to take the first cornerback off the board, and they choose Terrion Arnold from Alabama. Good player.
Yeah, the cornerback's slipping a little bit.
Better be.
Mitchell, not been drafted, but I feel like it's possible. I feel like it's possible.
Seems possible.
And I do feel like the Jaguars would be thrilled to have either one of those guys fall to them.
And, you know, I do have to say that they are a team that could use a little offensive oomph right now.
Right.
Coming off the way last year ended and losing Calvin Ridley, a guy they wanted.
I would think
back.
Brian Thomas Jr., if the board felt like this, would be a consideration at least for them.
Absolutely.
But Arnold makes sense.
I think Jaguars fans would maybe be a touch miffed if they don't come out of this with a weapon for Lawrence, but
well, we know that
sound pick.
Trent Baalke's going to do what he needs to do. We know that.
Excuse me.
All right. Next up, the Cincinnati Bengals at 18.
But the Bengals could go a couple different ways here. They seem like a dark horse, not to trade, but I kind of thought they maybe were a perfect fit for someone like Brock Bowers, but I think at this point it's not going to them. Maybe a wide receiver, but they go Troy Fatanu, interior offensive line, Washington. Considered by PFF the best overall athlete among the offensive linemen, very versatile, can play a number of different positions. I know they attacked offensive line a lot in free agency a couple years ago, but it didn't completely work out, and I don't know what's more important than making sure you don't lose Joe Burrow to injury number 6, so.
That's what.
Look, no one's better at stepping up in the pocket than Joe Burrow, so you want to have a nice firm pocket like that choice.
Firm. You want a nice supple pocket.
Nice and firm.
Supple and firm.
Yes. All right, that's good. I like that pick. Solid, makes sense. I feel like they've been working on that line since Burrow's second season, and maybe this guy brings the total stability.
They have plenty of needs, so they can go in a lot of directions.
Yeah.
They do like guys from like teams from big schools that just played in the playoff game. Like that is very much often from the SEC. That is their MO.
All right, next.
All right, remember, this is where the Colts are sitting at 19 after the trade with the Rams.
Who could
and
forget?
They have an absolute...
Remember.
Okay, fair. They have an absolute need. They have a very young secondary, and I think they're very happy to have Quinyon Mitchell.
Wow.
Toledo cornerback, one of the best zone coverage guys in the league, fall to them. They don't have a lot of it, like veteran presence there. They just need some solid guys they know that can produce out of the gate. They hope it's true with him.
They are like team athleticism, team just take measurables and see what happens. They did it with their second round pick, Juju Brent at cornerback last year. I feel like they need weapons, but they certainly could use a cornerback too.
This feels like value.
Good value.
This is number 12, the number 12 prospect on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. So I think if you are a team that is looking at this top of the draft for defensive players, this sets up very well for you this year. So, because there's going to be big time guys coming out of this draft. I'm playing defense and everyone's focused elsewhere. So maybe you get some guys that other years.
That's how guys
earlier.
Like Micah Parsons, not that anyone knew he was going to beat Micah Parsons, but he was a pretty highly touted prospect throughout college and into the draft. And you remember that draft was like all offense and quarterbacks going early, and right. Parsons falling off.
The 18 teams, the 19 that passed on TJ Watt when it made complete sense not to do that.
There's a lot to learn from studying these past drafts. All right, now the Steelers are up at 20, and we have a run. We have a certified run on defensive backs.
Yeah, they didn't pass on TJ Watt when they knew they shouldn't, and they are not going to pass on one of the more interesting players in the draft. This feels like such a Steelers player, and it's driving me nuts already. But Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa, he can do a little bit of everything. And this is a team that knows that special teams is going to matter more than ever before. They did get Cordarrelle Patterson, but they also know that Cooper DeJean is one of the more dangerous return men in the league, and the kickoff rules changed. And you remember that Mike Tomlin used to go for two-pointers more than anyone when that first became an option. And start, like, this guy likes to push the envelope a little more than people realize. DeJean is a perfect Steelers-type player, I think.
It's an interesting fit with a guy he has been compared to a decent amount, Minkah Fitzpatrick. You put those two guys in the same defensive backfield, even if DeJean is at corner or slot corner.
Is that crowd applauding a white cornerback going in the first round? Could be.
It's a steel belt crowd, yeah.
He's breaking boundaries. You know, let your athletes stay at cornerback, no matter who they are.
We should have Jason Sehorn on hand to make the pick if it happens. All right, moving up. Oh, no. Just when we thought we were done with trades.
We got a trade, yep.
How many trades we got, and what is the record? LA Research, we need to dig in on that.
This would be the record, I would believe, by quite a stretch. The Dallas Cowboys, now they've said, we're all in on the draft. Not just the offseason, we're all in on the draft. They've circled around and said that, now that's true. But they'd have to do something here, and they want to, you know, Greg, you're hearing little whispers and birdies and butterflies tell you that people are trading up for offensive tackles. J.C. Latham out of Alabama, I think this is where they go. You've lost Tyron. They want to keep building that offensive line, and I think this is a logical safe pick for them.
6'6", 360 pounds. I love that. Joe Alt is such a freak that J.C. Latham really hasn't gotten that much attention for being this big, this massive. Not going to say it's Tyron Smith vibes, but just physically. I think they'd love to keep Tyler Smith too at guard, which they could in this situation.
Did they get the best years of Tyron Smith? Probably. Could he have played another 3 or 4 years at a high level? Potentially. But perhaps the smart move is to move on, hit on somebody you really like in the first round, and then you have a true bridge and a young tackle to protect Dak or whomever.
Yeah, I wonder if they could trade up, like you say, Mark, and then you get the right player, right team, but it's just in a different spot, but you do get credit for that.
Ah, okay.
Credit.
Yeah, if it's in the first round, if you get the right team player and they trade up for Latham at 15 or something, you get credit.
I think credit is an important word. I think what Mark is looking for in many ways is credit. There's a little bit right there. Electric credit for you.
I agree that Will Levis, getting points for that last year was probably just, this is such a lost draft that we're just trying to throw this guy some sort of.
I got a 9-year-old coming for you. All right, up next, the 22nd pick, and oh my God.
So the Eagles are sitting here, and I think the Cowboys kind of thought, we're not going to get hopscotched by the Eagles for an offensive lineman of any sort, and so that's sort of what motivated them. We see them do that to each other on draft day before. But the Eagles are open for business, and we have a trade.
It's unbelievable, the number of trades, the sheer number of trades.
It will be 17 trades in the end.
Okay, and so what triggers trades on draft night? I think it can be logic, smart, you fell in love with someone, or you're a little bit desperate. And the Bills are we can't sit around deep farther down in this first round. There's a number of guys that could go for, but they go for A.D. Mitchell, Texas wide receiver, great route runner, a red zone menace. They've had red zone issues at times in the past. I think this is a sexy additional weapon for Josh Allen and friends.
The conventional wisdom is Howie Roseman is not picking 22. He's either going to move up, he's either going to move down, but he's not going to move. I don't know what that means. If the right player was there, I guess then he would move up. A.D. Mitchell is maybe among the most divisive players in this draft. Some people think he could be a true number one, like a top 10 type of talent, but some questionable effort, some questionable profile kind of reminds me of George Pickens coming out a little bit. But George Pickens has been pretty good.
You were going to say Chase Claypool. Here's from Jeremiah's Top 50. It looks like he gets a little lazy at times on the backside of routes, assuming the ball is going elsewhere. He doesn't have a ton of production after the catch. Overall, though, Mitchell is an ideal X receiver. He can make plays when covered, and he's a real weapon.
You also replace one headache potentially with another, and that's smart.
To be clear, I don't think there's any off-field like major concerns. It was just like a lot of people saying like he kind of goes half speed on half these routes, and he talked about that too. And
that's nice that you brought that up, Greg. That's important. We want to be fair to these young men.
I always worry when
Greg Rosenthal, ladies and gentlemen.
I always worry when you're on a college team and the other guy is clearly better than you, and then you get taken ahead of that guy, and that other guy would be Xavier Worthy, who really was kind of the one at Texas.
All right, let's take a break.
Concern.
Let's take a break, and we will finish the first round of the Mock Sessler Mark Draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going through withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey-o, can you take me higher on the draft board?
I think lubing up the studio audience with some drinks was a good idea.
They are sloshed.
Getting wild.
Give it up if you're sloshed right now. Hammond. Wicked pissed. All right, where were we? We just heard...
23 now.
The unthinkable that the Bills would go for Mr. Mitchell out of Texas. So now it is the Cardinals via the Minnesota Vikings from Cleveland through Houston. Yikes. All right. The Cardinals, what do they do?
Well, and these drunken Cardinals fans all up in arms that they took an offensive lineman and an edge. And
yes.
Like, where's this thing that we all want? A little fantasy play thing. So let's see what they do here.
Rise up, Red Sea. We're not done yet.
Gross.
With the 23rd pick in the NFL draft of the year 2024, the Arizona Cardinals via Minnesota Vikings from Cleveland through Houston pick Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU, junior, 6'4", 205 pounds. Come to us, Brian. Come to us.
I like how Zum, like, he's very important that he gets in the measurables there. He gets the height and weight.
I know why this happened, because I sent him just at, because I have all that stuff here.
Yes.
I sent him, the name and the measurables, and, like, he also is injecting incredible Zumwalt energy there, but he was very meticulous.
Love this for
what
the Cardinals.
Love Jason
Thomas.
Zumwalt, folks.
This would be exciting if you come away with three first-round picks. Again, the tackle That would be surprising to me. But Latu, my favorite edge. Thomas, you know, I would give this an A. Give it an A to the
Clippers. I think you'd have to. We don't know, you know, I don't have a big problem with adding a great tackle in the draft at any point.
Next year, we should see what else we could put on the page and see if Jason just keeps reading on and on and on.
I mean,
hometown, favorite food.
I think he's got genuine passion for the concept of these picks. You can feel it, and especially their body types.
First girlfriend.
Sizes.
All right. Up next, the 24th pick. It's the Miami Dolphins.
All right, the Dolphins, some overt needs on defense, and they love what's happened to them here. And Greg loves it, too, because it's attached to a sandwich-related prop. They go Johnny Newton, defensive lineman, Illinois.
Well, the listeners love it, too, because this was a rainmaker that Peter Schrager's tweet completely dismissed. That he's getting taken by. So I would be celebrating.
There's a little Rosenthal V. Schrager
Christian
set up here that I like.
No, it's just.
No, it's not. It's yes.
Well, according to these latest mock drafts, like he has fallen out of a lot of these, and I'm sticking with my guy. Sticking with my guy. And so is Mark.
Mark's playing to Greg a little bit, which is.
Well, no, but like, know, I don't agree that like I'm seeing no one else.
No, he's sort of all over the place where like some people have him in the top 15, some of them out of the top 40. Like,
did you take Greg on the sandwich?
No, so I was going to say I'm not. It shows no internal fortitude to go back on the sandwich prop. I'll stick with it. But the more research I did on him after that conversation,
okay, good.
I would not take Greg on it.
How about that foot injury?
It's a concern. Whew.
Big man with a foot injury.
Yeah, but it's like Odell.
Is that bad?
Like, I don't know. It's like some players are coming in with a couple weeks of, you know, availability questions. Then they're awesome.
Jason would tell you that he's 6'2", 295 pounds. Bad foot for a big man? Look out.
You'd have to look into that.
As OJ once said, look out. All right, number 25, the Green Bay Packers staying home.
Yeah, they do. And they, you know, they take a Amarius Mims offensive tackle out of Georgia. That's a need for them. Like, they can't mess around with that.
They're perfect for taking one of these kind of, not project tackles, but guys that maybe you don't have to play them day one. There's a few of them at this part of the draft. Tyler Guyton is another, which is crazy physical skills. Again, guys who I have a feeling, if they were in either of the previous two drafts, would have gotten taken much higher. Mm.
I believe that they will add a defensive player in the first round, but we'll see.
Sure.
Makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
To me, finally starting over with a new DC. They need some more talent on that side of the ball, but obviously adding a tackle with high ceiling, like Amarius Mims, makes sense. Number 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think the Bucs could go in a number of different... I kind of messed around with this pick a lot. What I have them doing, you know, they've lost a little bit of veteran presence in the secondary. They go Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson.
Mm.
Todd Bowles still in control.
Lanky man.
Better or worse?
6'2", 185.
Traded away Carlton Davis. Certainly have a need.
Bill's a need. And yes, Todd does have a loud voice in that room. Well, Todd never has a loud voice. Todd gets his message across.
Right. Carries some weight.
Number 27, the Denver Broncos.
So the Broncos, you know, they kind of bailed on their... They're unable to fulfill their quest to move up for a quarterback, and I think the war room is a little down about the whole thing. The fan base is wondering if there's any vision for the future.
Uh-oh.
But what's happened here is you could say there's some value. This is a quarterback with a lot of experience. Bo Nix from Oregon falls right into the laps. And Sean Payton's like, you know what? I like this because we absolutely needed a quarterback, and this is someone that kind of injects some future hope. It gives Sean Payton something to work with and buys everyone a little bit of time.
I want to see Sean Payton with like an exciting quarterback, which Bo Nix doesn't really qualify as.
Those guys are gone.
Yeah, though that would be six quarterbacks here in the first round. Always a little worrisome if you get number six.
Right. That's
sure.
This feels like when you're reaching for a position rather than best player on the board.
Hasn't handled pressure necessarily very well, but, you know, not accurate.
That's not an issue in the NFL, though, because the game slows down from college to the pros. So I feel like Bo will do just fine. All right, next, the number 28 pick, Mark.
It is the Eagles, and I think that Howie Roseman, this is just kismet. This seems to happen to them a lot on draft day. Graham Barton, one of the most versatile offensive linemen in a post-Jason Kelce world, can plug right into that line and be a nasty. He's from Duke. He's a senior, considered one of the most intelligent smart dudes around, like a pre-snap genius, so you can plug right into that offense and get it going.
Pre-snap genius.
When he gets it, he gets it. I got to give Mark credit.
Wow.
This is a marriage I have not seen predicted out there, and it just it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He nailed this one. He also nailed the A.D. Mitchell Bills pick because that is the one pick him and Walker agreed with on it.
There you go. So he's gonna just coming together.
And rest assured, no matter who the Eagles pick, they will be universally lauded as incredible purveyors of talent and vision. Because the idea of the Eagles ever making the wrong decision, it's just impossible. So great job. Even though they haven't made the pick yet, whether it is this particular lineman, whoever it is, it could be a punter.
I love that for the Eagles.
That is exactly what you will hear from all the football nerds.
Thank you for your op-ed.
Have once again done it. They have seen what no one else can see. As you can see, that lobby filled with Lombardi trophies. They have done it. So congratulations. Let me be the first to congratulate the Eagles on an amazing night one of the draft. Put them on my winner list. That's how you earn respect in the industry.
I mean, hitting him with the Lombardi trophies, they have been to two Super Bowls and won one in the last 6 years. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Sure. I mean, 6 plus 51. Yeah. I'm just saying there's one in the lobby.
Okay.
We treat them as if they're the 80s Niners and 90s Cowboys and the 2000s Patriots rolled into one.
False.
My goodness. Great job. And now I'm going to get buried by the... Let me tell you something else, Philadelphia.
Of course you are.
How about the Knicks? How about your Sixers?
Oh, here we go.
With Embiid with his head down in the locker room. Oh, I guarantee you we're going to win this year. Pick your head up. Be a leader. What a loser team
that
is.
How do you expect Philadelphia's multiple fan bases to respond to what you've just said over the last minute?
I acknowledge that now it feels personal.
It felt from the first instance and it hadn't been going on for a while.
It hadn't been truly personal until this moment, and now it is. So, sorry, guys, but this is the way it is. Up next.
The Detroit Lions. And I've seen a couple, whispers that they're open to trading out of this pick. What are you talking about? The draft is in Detroit. You got to know how to lather and work this crowd. You can't.
Good point.
They need help in the secondary, and they've kind of needed it forever. But Kool-Aid McKinstry, I have here from Alabama.
Right.
We trust those Alabama players, and I think that organization will too.
Closest thing you'll get to an NFL team is that football machine down there.
I feel like this might be the pick the fewest people in the NFL mock draft community get right, just because it's so late in the first round.
Mm.
And they just don't value players the same way that other teams do. They said that as much as press conference. They like it, and it's been working. I mean,
yep.
Jack Campbell didn't exactly work so far, but Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell. Just look at where they took players last year. No one was seeing those coming.
Your setup there was what with the Lions that they will do something.
No, there was. I've just seen some little things here and there.
They
would be ripe.
Is Kool-Aid
to trade out
in Detroit? Is he going to walk?
No, he's not there.
They only.
I don't think they're going to take a guy that's not going to walk.
Well, they're not going to get one of those guys unless someone tumbles down the board.
Whoever's left of that 14,
Darius Robinson is a strong. In this scenario, he would still be on the board. He's the one that kind of stuck out as why is he there? Just because he might have to wait through the first round.
I see where you're going.
That would be if I could add a sandwich prop that the Lions will take a player that walks.
I mean, I'll allow it.
I would too. Hopefully, that's spicy.
Hopefully our friend doing the site, can we do it?
I don't know.
I want your sandwich.
Yeah, what the hell?
All right, let's
good.
Do it. I'm taking you up on
the Lions take a player that walks because they have eliminated their draft board.
This is going to be
very
exciting.
They've narrowed it down to 14 players.
When we get to pick 29. All right.
It's a big deal for the Lions to host. And they're not going to do the thing where, all right, now let's throw it live to satellite to
Kool-Aid's house.
Yeah, San Jose.
Right.
No. They want the moment. They want the rog hug. They want the whole thing, and they have limited their draft board as a result.
And that marries up with my theory that they're not trading out of the pick.
Is it smart? No, I think it's foolish, in fact. But it's about the celebration as much as anything else this year. Go ahead.
All right, noted. Ravens at 30. They have a lot of different needs, but offensive line is one of them, and they've still got offensive linemen here. They take Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma. 6'7", 328. Slightly larger than the three of us put together in a
large
burlap sack.
You're like a large man.
I think that's savvy.
You like a big guy.
I do.
Yeah.
They need to start planning for post Ronnie Stanley. They have a lot of needs and have had a lot of injuries in the offensive line. That makes sense. While we're here,
yes,
there was some news. I'm not even going to call it breaking news.
Okay. What do we got?
Noting that the Ravens just extended Rashad Bateman, their first round pick from a few years ago, for a couple extra seasons. A little surprising, but that shows they believe
and
in him.
And nicely done, Greg, as co-host here, to hold off on sharing that until we get to the Ravens. So it's all part of one. It's all a greater whole.
Yeah, seamless.
Very nice.
Production.
I'm not just looks.
You bimbo. All right, number 31.
All right, San Francisco 49ers. Now, the one thing that I almost did in this.
Bimbo. We kind of lost Bimbo. It's kind of gone. It had a nice run, though.
It's out there with Beefing, which we
Bimbo
don't
know. Bimbo comes into the mix every once in a while now.
I think that there's a world where Brandon Ayuk could be traded and they move way up this board, but it was getting a little rich with all the business. So I had them staying home here, taking Chop Robinson, the edge from Penn State. And if you go back and look at, because I was looking at Blake Corum a little bit, like the game where Michigan played Penn State and ran the ball 30 times in a row at one point, was because of Chop Robinson blowing up the tackle position and causing all sorts of havoc, largely because of that. And so they were like, we're just going to get back to 1920s basic football and destroy you up the middle.
Explosive traits guy. That's what the 49ers like. And they sneaky need edge. So it's a little surprising.
Kind of keep populating that.
Deteriorated a little bit around Bosa last year.
That they could go tackle too, maybe, but we'll see. I'm going edge here.
Makes all the sense in the world, Mark. And the final pick of the first round, and I think it's fitting. I think it's fitting given the absolute madness of acquisitions and moving up and down the board that we end with a trade.
Yeah, like at some point, four teams will have owned the 32nd pick. It started with the Chiefs, then the Falcons, then the Seahawks, and now this happens.
Spider-Man.
There has been a trade. The New England Patriots are now selecting 32nd. And the pick is Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia.
Okay, this is going to be a...
Spider can't be stuffed.
That is troubling for our audio listeners. Most of those people
great.
Not knowing
Connor that. Orr, I believe, yes, under a Batman mask.
Yep. We're not for sure, but it seemed like him.
I presume to be offspring with him in a Spider-Man mask.
Yes, that was confirmed offspring.
Thank you to Connor, Jason, Ricky Hollywood, everyone that helped contribute to the picks. Well done. And
well done by the Patriots. You know, you can take Belichick out of the building, but you can't take... their appreciation for versatile white wide receivers.
You know,
you just have Drake May and Ladd McConkey. That takes the most vanilla offense in the league and it makes you think differently.
That's the opportunity that the Patriots have. The number 32 pick is a very popular trade pick because it's the last pick of the draft where you can lock in a player with that fifth year option. And that matters, Greggy, if you really love a guy.
Well, famously, Lamar Jackson. With the second of the Ravens' two first-round picks that year, they took Hayden Hurst.
I think they ordered those correctly.
Unbelievable. And, Mark, you are unbelievable. Now I could throw flowers at you. I could hand you a lollipop. Mm. But that doesn't – why? Because the draft hasn't happened yet. So all I could say, and, Greg, I think you would agree here, is Mark has done the work this spring, and he is – whether or not he succeeds, whether or not, you know, and again, apologies for with Lance. We brought him on as a guest, and to hang up on you was just straight disrespectful. Greg,
processing that.
Greg bringing in a 9-year-old to challenge you directly tomorrow
processing
night.
Processing that, too.
That feels like it's against the greater goal to lift you up, to lift up ATN.
Yes.
To give us a bigger platform. But I just want to say great job, great work, and I hope that you set records this year.
Thank you. I understand the heat coming from outlets, old and young, because I think they sense there's a little bit of danger here.
Mm.
There's a little bit of foundational rattling about to happen if this goes the way that I know it will.
Yeah, and I just want you to know, where I come from, Western Massachusetts, a lot of time you show love by busting balls, by just like mercilessly trying to take other people down. Yes. That's how we show.
But you have a certain way about you that maybe isn't a little different than some of the others in Western Massachusetts.
No, you should you should come. Brutal.
No, I will not go. All right. Eric, how you doing back there behind the glass? ATP.
Doing great. How are you guys?
Great work.
I do want to point out that I was scheduled to announce the Bills' first round pick, but Mark totally left me out.
There was a trade.
Yeah.
I did forget about that. Would you like to?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
It was A.D. Mitchell.
The Bills was out of the pen.
I was here.
Thanks.
I'm just messing with you, Mark. I really didn't know.
Okay. Well, yes, that did slip the. Yeah. That slipped.
A lot of elements in a show like this.
No, honestly, it's fine. I had nothing to say, and sometimes
it was ETP's chance to shine, and that was taken.
And if he had nothing to say, then I made the correct decision in the end. So,
love you, Mark.
Anything else?
Not until we're back after round one.
Yes. no live stream this year. Is what it is. And I'll say nothing more. But we do have the big show tomorrow night, immediately at the end of round one. We will be recording our reaction to round one of the 2024 NFL draft. So make sure you are, keep your phone in your hand, whatever device you use to ingest podcasts, probably your phone, just stare at it. And then think, what do you think, Eric, about, we're going to try to get it up about, let's see, the first round ends at about 11 Eastern, something like that. We're going to want to have that up, 3 hours later from the last pick?
Figure we give us an hour to talk, give me a little time to edit and post, and I say before 3 hours.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Clock me.
That's the goal.
Yeah, actually, don't do that if it's late. Sorry.
No, it's too late. all right. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to Mark Sessler. Thank you to Lance Zierlein. Check out his final mock draft. To the draft tomorrow. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.